The Boise State Public Radio app. News, music, and more.
Idaho Matters.
Morning Edition.
All things considered.
The Connector.
And more.
And more.
You can take us wherever you go and stay connected. Without it, you're missing out. Download it free.
You can also communicate using the Talk to Us tab.
The Boise State Public Radio app.
You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. A new task force has been formed by Governor Brad Little. This latest one is the Idaho Broadband Future Task Force. The task force will work to ensure everyone here in Idaho has access to quality broadband resources that are needed to succeed in our increasingly digital world. House Minority Leader Representative Matt Erpelding was appointed to that task force, and he's joining us live in studio to talk more about this. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
So first question for you, just talk to me about the importance of not just broadband, but the access to it.
Well, broadband is increasingly critical to any type of economic infrastructure, whether you're talking about agricultural infrastructure, you're talking about our business infrastructure, and it's also essential. It's becoming essential for just straight up communicating between one person and another these days.
And you know what people might not be aware of, I mean, when we say the importance especially of it in rural Idaho, you don't have to go that far out of our urban cores to have issues with this, correct?
You don't even have to go outside of our urban cores. I mean, for most of us, the internet that is available to us in the city of Boise is adequate. But the question is it adequate for new businesses to come here? Is it adequate for technological companies to come here? And do they have access? Is the pipeline strong enough and fast enough for the services that they provide? Then when you start to move into areas in rural Idaho, you see a decrease in speeds. And when we start talking about end-of-line service, so those homes that are way out away from core urban centers, you're talking about homes that might be getting speeds that are way below what would be considered a need nationally.
Is this something that some people may be surprised by in the sense that we have such issues with access?
They might be surprised with it, but it's not that they should be. I mean, if you go back to how the United States moved forward with electrifying America, there was a process put in place where heavily, heavily urbanized areas did what they could to help support rural America to ensure that they had access to electricity. When you talk about the Telecommunications Act that also did the same thing, that helped push end-of-line services by providing the Universal Services Act, which in Idaho, we have an Idaho-specific Universal Service Act, which this place pays a landline tax that goes to support telephones in rural Idaho. And right now there's nothing like that that is really effectively being administered for putting in broadband. So you have all kinds of services that are being provided, but there's nothing that is being done to help supplement the loss of revenue that many companies would get if they pushed all the way out to the end of line.
So then why put a task force together? I mean, what can this task force accomplish?
Well, there's a lot of things that it can accomplish. The main thing is what do we need to do to make sure that we do provide high quality broadband services, broadband, satellite, internet, wireless internet, any of the plethora of services that would allow for high-speed internet to get to every person in Idaho. How we do that is the conversation that needs to take place. And does that mean that, and I'm probably an outlier on this, but I believe that changing the Idaho Universal Service Fund so that it's not just old copper lines for telephones, but that it actually provides something to help with broadband implementation is probably a way that we need to go, but there's a host of things that we can look at.
And when will the task force begin to meet? And also, will you look to have recommendations coming up in this next session, the legislative session that will start in January?
Yeah, this task force has a fairly robust schedule that includes traveling. So we're not just meeting here in Boise, but we're going over to Southeast Idaho and North Idaho to meet with people up there to talk about service issues. I mean, when you go up into the Silver Valley and you talk to folks in the Wallace, Mullen, Kellogg area, you get very far off the highway and their services. They're really struggling for service up there. So it's not just limited to Southeast and Southwest Idaho. But this task force hopefully will have recommendations for the next legislative session, and it won't be for a lack of meeting and actually having conversations about the best way to move forward, that's for sure.
Does our growing population affect broadband access? I mean, maybe that's a silly question, but if there are more people using, does it slow the process down?
Oh, you mean increased load on the system?
Yes.
Yeah, certainly increased load on the system is a piece of it. I think there's another piece to it, too, and this would be the more capitalist argument, and that is that there's really only two high-speed services in the valley here, and so increased competition might improve it. I think that it's, you know, more and more people are watching their television via streaming services, mm-hmm. so Netflix and Amazon Prime. So you see an increased load, and that puts pressure on all of the providers. But then the question becomes is what we have in the ground adequate? Do we need optic fibers? Do we need improved broadband? Are we using from the road to the house? Are we just using an old phone line cable? Like, what are we doing to make sure that we're providing the highest level access?
And then what about having to fund this? I mean, if you're talking about we need to put new lines in, we need, you know, to do X. I mean, you know, that's not free.
It's certainly not free. I mean, there are a host of different ways to do it. One is that the businesses see that it will actually pencil out. And so they put in the infrastructure using, you know, their own resources. And then the subscriptions pay for it. So that's one way. Another way is the city of Ammon, which has kind of been used nationally as an example of how to do it. In the city mm-hmm. of Ammon, they put their own line in, so their own fiber lines in, and then the people that live in the city can pick what provider they want to utilize. So they could use CenturyLink or they could use another provider, but the actual infrastructure is owned and maintained by the city of Ammon. So that's another technique, but that's an expensive proposition for a much bigger city like the city of Boise.
Well, and that's what I was just going to say. If people are aware of where Ammon is, I mean, it is literally right next to Idaho Falls, and it's small. So
and growing quickly.
Growing quickly, but still, when you mm-hmm. compare it, whether it's to Boise or Nampa
oh, yeah.
or Caldwell, I mean, those are much bigger than Ammon. So that cost is a big number compared to what Ammon could do.
Correct. And the reality is in the Treasure Valley, where you have service providers who are competing for business, there is a theory that if you introduced more competition here, that it would pressure the other companies to start putting in better infrastructure. The challenge with that is then you have duplicate infrastructure because each company is trying to put in their own infrastructure. The nice thing about the way that Ammon did it is there's one piece of infrastructure and then the providers are all running through the same infrastructure. So who knows? There's a host of ways to look at it. And I believe that that's what Director Keeley and Governor Little really have in mind when we talk about broadband.
I'm speaking with House Minority Leader Representative Matt Erpelding. We're talking today about the new task force looking at broadband internet access. Also, you were just appointed to another governor's task force. You're a busy guy.
You
got a lot going on.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's quickly talk about this one. This is the being called Our Kids, Idaho's Future. This is the K-12 task force. So talk to me a little bit more about this task force and specifically why another task force looking at education.
So after the Luna laws, which is what drove me into politics in the first place, Governor Otter put forward a task force to really assess where we needed to go over the next 5 years. And out of that task force came the career ladder and came a host of other pointers that we were investing in, the master teacher premium and some technology stuff, all of which came out of the last task force. But it was a five-year plan. Many of those things that came out of that task force, we've actually realized through the legislative process. Mm-hmm. And one of the last pieces that Governor Little was able to get through this year with the help of the Democrats and the Republicans is raising starting teacher pay to $40,000, which was the recommendation of the first task force. The problem is that the strategic plan needs to be continued, and we need to continue to have a conversation about, okay, we got the career ladder in place. We're putting the technological advancements in place. So now where do we go the next 5 years? So in his State of the Union address, he announced that he wanted to put forward a task force, and the legislature allotted some resources for it. So now we're moving forward mm-hmm. with this task force, and it's an honor to be on it. And I think that a lot of the oxygen that's going to get sucked up in this task force is how to fully implement the student funding formula, which really took up all the oxygen during the legislative session. Ultimately, we didn't get anything accomplished. And meanwhile, this task force was being moved through kind of silently.
And that funding formula hasn't been changed in upwards of two decades, correct?
The original average daily attendance funding formula, I think that came about like 1992, 1994 timeframe. And it is time to update it. What ended up happening this year was you had most stakeholders saying, yes, this is the direction we should go. But when you move to this new system, you're going to see a funding shortage. And that funding shortage was roughly $120 million a year. So you ended up with school districts that were going to benefit and school districts that were really going to get hurt when you transition to this new funding formula. And that's ultimately why the legislature couldn't agree on it, because the reality is we're going to have to invest additional resources in a formula that allows the dollars to follow the student.
And I was reading that the governor wants the task force to deliver recommendations to him by November.
It's also going to be a very busy task force. Yes, we've started to see the meetings coming up. And my hope is that we really get the stakeholders in front of the committee. I mean, we know that when it comes to our go-on rates and this systemic piece, that school counselors are a key piece to helping students continue to go on to college. We know we have a substantial shortage of school counselors across Idaho. We know that we continue to need to invest in not just our new teachers, but we need to retain those current teachers. Mm-hmm. And we're starting to see a salary compression there. I mean, there are a lot of struggles we're having in the Idaho education K-12 system, and the stakeholders can speak to it better than anybody.
And then also with this, Governor Little says that he, when with the recommendations, he says he wants it by November so they can develop a budget and a strategy moving forward. So when you hear that, strategy-wise, what would you say we need to be looking at when it comes to strategy for education for all?
That is a difficult question, as you could tell by my momentary pause. When we talk about strategy and we talk about education for all, this task force has decided to take a limited look at just K-12. We talk about education for all, and we talk about how that then directly relates to our global economy and Idaho's economy within that. I think the strategy has to be, how does it fit into our higher education goals of having everybody graduate, 60% graduate by a certain time frame? And then I think also we need to tie that into, what are we doing for early childhood education, which we know 0 to 5 from a cognitive development perspective is so critical. And Idaho's now one of 4 states that don't have any statewide funding for early childhood education. And so for me, being a person who sees this from a systems perspective, I think this is just one piece. And certainly if we come forward with some really great recommendations and they can develop a budget around it, it will be limiting if we're not also looking at the both sides of that age spectrum.
And quickly, before I let you go, the governor also said he wants the task force to prioritize goals. So what would you say would be a main goal or priority of this task force, or what should it be?
Off the top of my head, I can give you essentially 3. The first is, I know that Governor Little and the education stakeholders feel very strongly that the third grade reading initiative is a key indicator that we need to continue to look at and continue to figure out how to reinvest in. The other thing is, how do we ensure that we increase our high school graduation rates, which right now our high school graduation rates could see improvement, and then our go-on rates. And go-on rates are a key indicator for what type of an economy we're going to have in the future. And so those 3 areas are really critical. And that doesn't just mean higher education. It means going to career technical schools, going to community college. But how do we ensure that we hit those third grade reading initiatives, get people off on a right track? How do we keep them on that track to where they get into high school and we start talking about graduation rates and go-on rates?
I want to thank you for coming in today. Our guest today, House Minority Leader Representative Matt Erpelding, on 2 critical task force. So thanks for your time.
Thanks for having me.
Up next, we do know that the Treasure Valley is growing, but is this prosperity, especially in Boise, only fleeting? We're going to take a look at a new study. I'm Gemma Gaudette. You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette, and this is Idaho Matters.